Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So before we get to the in other news this week, there are a few things to wrap up on the presidential visit. I have to say I've covered several of these, both here and around the country. And if I can give a rare compliment from a typically jaded journalist, this was probably the most buttoned up I've ever seen. When they told us his speech would begin at 2:15, I thought that meant 4 o'clock, and it was 2:15. In fact, I almost missed Mayor Payne's opening remarks because I thought he was somebody doing a mic check. So, Rick, what did your reporters experience?
Much of the same. We're used to waiting around for hours for politicians to show up for their appearances. And Air Force One touched down at the Duluth International Airport about 12:10, just about exactly 2 hours before the scheduled speech. Of course, our folks had to be there a little bit early for security checks and all that. But for the most part, it was on time. He was on the plane for a few minutes. The president and first lady descended the stairs about 12:30, and of course were greeted by various dignitaries, mayors and governors before heading off.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, how about you? Any other takeaways, especially since we're having kind of a love fest here that journalists don't normally do?
Well, I mean, Biden definitely touched on many of the statements from his State of the Union address. Of course, he touted that the bipartisan infrastructure law would help fund and modernize the aging Blatnik Bridge. But he did over-exaggerate at times. I believe he said that there was $40 billion for bridges under the infrastructure law, and that that was the largest investment in bridges in history, when it's the largest investment since the national highway system was built. And he also said that they were going to build 500,000 charging stations for electric vehicles, even though the infrastructure package only included about half the amount needed to pay for that. The rest of that was supposed to come from his stalled social spending bill, Build Back Better, that's sought to tackle the climate crisis, childcare, and other items, but has been held up in Congress. You know, he also mentioned rising inflation as people have been really been getting hit hard at the gas pump as of late with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, talking about how, you know, the pandemic has affected supply and demand, and saying that the administration would lower costs by increasing manufacturing and building more products in America to reduce reliance on foreign supplies. But the Associated Press, as part of their fact check, kind of highlighted that that's not necessarily something that would go hand in hand. And that, you know, part of the reason that we see a lot of manufacturing overseas is because there are lower wages that drive down costs for products.
Well, I guess the moral is watch what you say in a room full of fact checkers, right?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that people are watching for this, doing the analysis so that people can get the right information.
Right. So kind of in other news this week, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, of course, was part of the entourage, but he's been making frequent trips here. Rick?
Yes, he brought his statewide public safety tour to Duluth on Friday, February 25th, and he was in town to receive feedback from local leaders on how they could spend their slice of a proposed $300 million spending plan. Walls of the city could stand to receive nearly $1.5 million annually over the next 3 years if his budget is ultimately adopted by the legislature. The funds would give cities, counties, and tribes broad discretion to spend on issues ranging from recruiting and hiring more police officers to purchasing new equipment and technology, as well as investing in social programs aimed at reducing crime. For instance, Police Chief Mike Tuscan said his agency has found success in pairing social workers with police officers to address issues involving mental health and addiction. But those programs are at capacity with more clients than the department could possibly serve. Walz credited the local leaders for taking the initiative to try out new programs, noting that those can be difficult to fund through standard revenue streams.
Well, again, coming off of the speech, two of the main topics, of course, were the Russian invasion of Ukraine and, again, our bridges. And somehow these got connected in a controversy over lighting Duluth's aerial lift bridge.
Yes. One day after issuing a press release in defense of the city's decision not to light the aerial lift bridge blue and yellow, which are the colors of the Ukrainian flag, Mayor Emily Larson announced plans to reverse course in a gesture of international support for Ukraine. Noah Schuckman, Duluth's chief administrative officer, explained to the city council on Monday night that while the LED system installed on the bridge in 2020 allows the city to change its hue at will, city staff was inundated with requests to change up the lighting for a variety of different causes and events. He said the situation put the city in an uncomfortable position of having to weigh the merits of certain requests versus others. And so in April 2020, it announced that it would no longer entertain requests to light the aerial lift bridge in commemorative colors. The city, however, did allow for the lighting of Anger Tower to be changed up in recognition of certain causes and events. So the previous weekend, that landmark tower was bathed in blue and yellow lighting. But a number of residents continued to question the city's inflexibility. Larson wrote to explain her change of heart on the matter Tuesday morning. She said that sometimes you make a decision based on important variables like rules and fairness, and then understand that those things really don't apply. The community is right. Thank you for reminding me of who Duluth is. So Larson announced that through Sunday, the aerial lift bridge and Anchor Tower will be lit in support of and in solidarity with Ukraine.
All right. Well, speaking of Duluth city government, there's a new city councilor, or maybe an old one?
Yes, a familiar face is returning to the Duluth City Council. After narrowly losing his at-large city council seat to challenger Derek Medved 2 years ago, Noah Hobbs will return to the same political post. 28 people applied to fill a council vacancy that was created February 14 when Councilor Medved stepped down, citing the growing demands of his expanding chain of gas station convenience stores. The council ended up interviewing 24 of those applicants on February 24. And three finalists, including Hobbs, advanced to another round of questioning Monday night. Hobbs assured fellow counselors that he intends simply to serve out the remaining 2 years of Medved's term and will not use the position as a political springboard to seek additional time on the council. After the lengthy interview process and a majority vote to tap Hobbs as Medved's successor, the council unanimously passed a resolution 8-0 to appoint him to the vacant seat on Monday night.
Well, Danny, back in Wisconsin, lawmakers heard testimony about the 2020 election again.
Yeah, former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman was hired by Wisconsin Republicans to investigate the 2020 presidential election. And on Tuesday, he told lawmakers that they, quote, ought to take a very hard look at decertifying the election. And this was all part of a final report that he was supposed to issue on that investigation, although he vowed it wouldn't be the last. And the gist of it all is that he said private grants that were used to run the election basically constituted election bribery. And he called on lawmakers to eliminate and dismantle the Wisconsin Elections Commission and fire its commissioner. But basically, in his report, Gableman focused on millions of dollars in private election grants from the Center for Tech and Civic Life, and that's funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. And so he argued that because the bulk of that funding went to Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, Milwaukee, and Racine, you know, the state's five largest cities, that it basically amounted to election bribery, because it was used to boost Democratic turnout. The idea that the legislature should or could decertify the presidential election has almost no support either in the courts or among lawmakers from either party in the legislature. Repeated efforts by former President Donald Trump and his allies to decertify the 2020 election in the state and federal court have gone nowhere. You know, the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys have even said that such a move would be impossible. And so Governor Tony Evers issued a statement in response to the report calling the investigation a circus and an embarrassment for the state. And Republican Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke said in a tweet that he would do everything in his power to prevent putting politicians in charge of who wins and loses elections.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior Base reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Bruce Nelson. And since you've heard him on piano and guitar, how about cowbell? I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
I play piano a little. I also play some guitar. I tried my hand at the fiddle. I didn't get very far.